praise the Lord for what God is doing in Russia, not only in Russia here. I want to thank so many of you for being so wonderfully involved in the outreach to the community here on Easter morning. The sunrise service, to see some 1,300 plus people come out in the rain, in the mist and all, just blew my mind. And by the time the end of the service came that day, there was quite a harvest of souls that came into the kingdom, and we rejoice in what God did in the Easter services, and so many of you being so involved. And I thought, to be honest with you, there's no way that God can top what He did to my heart, with my heart, at Easter. And yet God just continued to add on as we jumped into the plane and went to the other side of the world, the uttermost parts of the earth for us. And God just opened doors, and He heard your prayers, and He moved, and He did wonderful things. And you're going to hear about them from the second phase of the team members, as the first group was here first service, and there'll be a third group during third service. What God has done is just blowing our minds. I need to tell them up front now, because we went, my goodness, almost 20 minutes over last service. We can't do that again this service. So I'm going to need to ask you guys to bring it down to about 2 minutes. And I'm going to be real rude and tap you on the shoulder if you're going too long. But it's just the way it's got to be. Their hearts are so full that I'm sure they can't contain themselves. So without any further delay, we're going to have Shelley come up and share. And we'll just work right down the line and just listen to what God is doing. So by the time we get over here, these guys will be sweating, no doubt about it. So.
Hushly, okay. Well, since I only have 2 minutes, I just wanted to read a scripture that Chuck had given me before I left, and I hung on to it the entire time I was there because I really needed it. It's in the book of Jeremiah. It was the first chapter, and Jeremiah is speaking to the Lord, and he's saying, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you,' declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out His hand and touched my mouth and said to me, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant.'" And plant we did. The Lord totally moved us in setting up a church there in Russia, and we just... it was our goal to do that and to bring people there for Mark and Loretta to start discipling. And it was just so awesome how the Lord moved and gave us all the words to say. There were times where I would be so intimidated to go out there and speak to people. I'm used to talking to people one-on-one, but I'm not used to going out and just grabbing somebody and going, "Hey, you know, do you know God?" And you just go up there with such a boldness. The first time I actually went up to somebody, I was very nervous and very scared, and I was just praying and just holding on to that verse, "Lord, I need you to give me the words. I'm not wise on what to say." And the Lord just totally opened the door, and like the first people I talked to, they accepted the Lord, and I was just blown away. I was like, "No way." And the Lord totally led me to people that I would never have thought I would talk to, people that were into astrology, people that didn't even think they were sinners. And we got to go through with them and show them that they needed the Lord just as much as we did. And, you know, it was really funny, too, that these people thought we had been sent there by their government or by our government. And they were blown away that we would come over 7,000 miles to tell them something that we believe so much, and to fill their hearts with hope when they have no hope there. And it was an exciting time. And I just, I thank God. This is the second time I was able to go, and I pray I can go again. You fall in love with these people. They're just like you and me, but they just need to know the love of God. And God gave us all boldness to speak, and we couldn't have done it without the filling of His Holy Spirit. And it was neat to be able to worship there as well and teach them songs and learn songs in Russian. And God really anointed, and so I'm thankful for that. Thank you.
Good morning. I had to write everything down so I wouldn't forget what to say. No, it's short. My name is Jeff Stevenson. About 2 years ago, my wife and I were praying about going on the first trip to Russia. I really never thought I would go, but I prayed about it. Then one day, someone I knew offered to pay my way, and I was able to get away from work, so I went on the first trip about a year and a half ago. It was a blessing, and I had a great time and made a lot of great friends. Then my wife, Christy, got to go on the second trip to Russia, which now, if it was up to her, we'd probably be living there right now. Then came the third trip. My wife was all pumped and ready to go. I was praying about going, but I thought, that's okay for you to go, but I'm too busy at work, and my finances are tight, so I thought, there's probably no way I'll go. My wife was all signed up and ready to go. Then the doors opened for me to go, and before I knew it, I was on a 16-hour flight over to Russia. My highlights was meeting a Chinese girl from China. Her name was Xing. She was going there to school. She spoke pretty good English, so I was able to talk to her without a translator. I met her at one of the outreaches that was then closer to town, and she didn't have much time, so we just talked a little and shared about God's love with her. I invited her to come to church that night. What I didn't know is she would come because she lived so far away. But as you guess, she was there that night and the next night also. I got to share with her for about at least 35, 40 minutes. Here we are. And then it worked out good because Jack happened to walk by, so he shared with her more, and it was really neat. She was really open to God's word. She had never heard anything about the gospel or about the Bible, very, very little at all. She didn't have a Bible and didn't read Russian really good, so one of the teenage girls, Christine, gave her her Bible. She never had a Bible before, never even seen one. So they explained to her the Old Testament and the New Testament and what the red letters meant, that was Jesus was speaking. Boy, she had a big smile and was so, so happy to have a Bible. Anyway, she wanted to read the Bible a little and try to understand more prior to accepting Jesus. She now knows the plan of salvation, and I'm sure she'll make the right decision and give her life to Jesus. She was going back home to China in 1 month, so I got her address in China. Her address looks like a crossword puzzle, but I'm still going to mail her something. And she says she wants to write us back as well. Also, we have a missionary, Paul and Cecil, in China, so we're going to fax him over the address, and he'll contact her and come by and visit her. This girl, Xing, was so nice and polite and open to God's word. It was worth going all the way over there just to meet with her. That is just one of my highlights, and I'll end with this. You may think you're not worthy of many reasons of going to Russia, and I felt that way myself, and that's okay. God will use you as much as the person who might know they know a lot about God. See, the most important thing for me was to be loving and kind and share the basic about Jesus and let Pastor Jack do the 1-2 knockdown. If we can share God's love through us, these people will continue to be open towards us, and hundreds of them will come to know Jesus. Pray about going and step out of your comfort zone. We all have a comfort zone and feel weird or uncomfortable about sharing or stepping out and meeting with somebody. But guess what? Most of us felt the same, and now our comfort zone has gotten bigger, and so can yours. So pray about going on the next trip, and you'll never be the same. Slava Boga. God bless you.
Well, can you hear me? Oh. I wanted to go next because I'm Jeff's wife, and it was really a blessing being able to go there with my husband. And when I came back last time, that was my ultimate prayer request, that if the Lord let me go, that we'd go together, because it does such a heart change in you, you can't even imagine. Not only are you blessing the people, but your whole outlook on your life has completely changed. The first trip was exciting, but this time God really put a burden on my heart for the people. They've been so spiritually starved their whole life, and just going over there and sharing the gospel, just it's so exciting to them and to you. They just desire to know about God and to know Him personally. You know, you realize when you get back in America, we have churches everywhere, almost on every corner, and we have been blessed with so many material things and comforts in our life that they don't have, but I realize that we take it all for granted. No matter how much we have, it seems like it's never enough, and we're never satisfied. And amazed me, the children you'd see day after day after day, they'd have the same clothes on, and they just got dirtier and dirtier. But they never complained, and their hearts were just so open to the Lord. It was such a blessing. The Lord really showed me that each of us that's born again has the Spirit of the living God indwelling in us and the gift of eternal life, yet so many of us keep it to ourselves. There's nothing greater than each of you can do in your life than share the love and forgiveness of Jesus to people who don't know Him. It's taking the gift in us and giving it to someone else and sharing it with them. Not only is their life changed, but yours is also. There's so many wonderful people I met, and I know we just don't have enough time to tell you all about them, but one lady's name I met was Marina, and I met her on the streets at an outreach, and she walked up with her 4-year-old daughter, and that kind of caught my eye because I have a 3-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 9-year-old, and she was real serious, and most of the Russian people look real solemn and serious, but as the music played and the message was given, you could see a transformation take over her face, the appearance of it. She started to smile, and then tears were rolling down her eye. So I had been praying for her as I was watching her, and so I got a translator and went up and just introduced myself and invited her to come that night. And she really didn't want to talk a lot. You could just tell she had a lot of emotions going through her. But she said she'd come, and she did. And that night she came, and she accepted the Lord, and I got to pray with her and share with her. And she really thanked me, and she came every single night after that. And the last night she brought me gifts, and you just can't believe these people will just shower you with their love. But most especially a letter. And in her letter, she said that in her country, life is very hard and they have many problems. She said she had no one to talk to about them. And she thanked us for coming and sharing the hope and love of Jesus to her and her people, and that it's a wonderful thing for us to do. She was so full of thankfulness and love. And all I could think of is that it was Jesus, it's not us, that we're only vessels he uses. It's God's life and word flowing through us, but it's up to us if we allow, each of us, allow him to use us. His great commission is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But you don't have to go to Russia to do it. You can pray for the people. You can help send other missionaries over there. And most of all, we can share his love and his word with all the people in our life. So the burden that God has really left on my heart that every day I just can't get out of it is the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field. And thank you. God bless you.
I'd like to thank the prayer team that was here praying for us because we really felt that power in Russia. The way for us was opened by the Holy Spirit, and the people who were receptive to us were very receptive. Obviously, there were those who were not receptive, and they let us know about it. If any of you do not like to be embarrassed for the Lord, you probably would have to have some trouble going over there and experiencing that, but believe me, the Lord does take care of us. The thing that I'd like to share is, I think, kind of here in Calvary Chapel. Jack is our pastor, and we need to be very thankful to the good Lord that we have such a leader as Jack. He was able to bring us together and pull us together and keep us together through his leadership and to the power of the Spirit that he brings to us as a team. You know, it reminded me a lot in the book of Acts when the Christians were living together and sharing, and really that love that became evident in their lives because they were together is what happened here, not just with the team that went to Russia, but with us and our feelings and the security we felt with those of you who are here praying for us. It really is important, and I think Calvary Chapel Chino Hills has an opportunity to grow even further. And I don't mean just in numbers of people, but I mean in the spiritual quality of life and in the brotherhood and love that comes together with those who are standing forward and standing up for Jesus Christ. There's nothing more that can unite us and keep us strong than the love that we have together. Today, to see my brothers and sisters for the first time since we arrived back, and to see Jack, I just wanted to hug him and kiss him and be with him. I missed him very much in the last few days. So my message to you is simply one that I think you, those of you who have not felt that, are missing the most important part of your lives, and that is to work for the Lord together with the rest of us who have decided that the Lord is first in our lives. I love you all very much, and I love these guys extremely, beyond how I can express, and that guy over there more than you'll ever know. Thank you.
I thought a lot about what I was going to say this morning because there's so much I want to share. Everything was awesome while we were there, but I wondered when I went on this trip why I was going. I'm a baby Christian. I came to this church just a year ago, And I came just 2 months after three of my family members had died. And I thought I was a Christian before they had died, but when they all died in 1 week, my faith was truly challenged. So when I started praying, why am I going on this trip, Lord? Why am I going on this trip? I knew that I wanted to go because I wanted to touch just one person's life the way this body has so awesomely touched mine. And when I got over there the morning that I gave my devotion, the Lord just really spoke to my heart, and he told me that this was part of my growth as a Christian. And he used my testimony beyond belief to share with people, because it amazed me how many people I talked to when I said I was from America and from California. I mean, they think we just go to the beach and get suntans. They don't believe that we have any problems. And many times when I shared my testimony, they were rather taken back at what I had been through and how the Lord had brought me through it. And Jack asked me to share one night at church, and lo and behold, there was a gal there, only 19 years old, who had just lost her mother to alcoholism. And she was coming to the church that night. In fact, she had ran to get there because she didn't want to be late. She had fallen and injured her legs, and her mother had just been buried that day. And she accepted the Lord, and the bond that I had with that woman touched my heart so tremendously, and it's a bond that I know, no matter how far away we are, land and sea, we are so close, and I will keep that bond forever. And I know now that I'm going to see her again in heaven. But that wasn't the highlight of my trip. The highlight of my trip was an orphanage that we visited that was for children that were infants to 4 years old. We were really not welcome there. The director told us we had a half hour. Ed and Denise arranged the whole thing. 16 of us had the privilege of going, and it was really awesome. Every child there had a neurological deficit. They are the most beautiful children I have ever laid eyes on. And the director asked Bob and I, Bob being a physician, to go and see these really bad neurological babies. And we went into this room, and here were these babies. I can't even tell you what they looked like. Their bodies were so twisted. They were so beautiful. Jesus was all through that room. The love that was in this room was incredible. It actually, I mean, I think Bob and I actually came to a halt. It was so incredible, the experience. And I was googling and gogging and looking at these babies, and they were smiling and their eyes were shining. And Bob said to me, "Robin, look at that baby." And he was in a crib. His body was extremely deformed, and he was doing all he could to turn his head to look at me. And I walked over to him, and I touched him, and he was so beautiful. His eyes glistened. He smiled. And it just, the Lord just spoke to my heart, and he just said to me that we are so blessed, those of us who have complete bodies. And it was a real lesson to me on the trip to not let any little thing get me down, because it was so easy. The enemy attacked us like there was no tomorrow. And it just, he really used that to remind me how blessed we are, that little baby. I wonder how hard it was for him to turn his head just to smile at me. And the other thing the Lord left me with was the saying that it's very true. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, it didn't matter that I was a baby Christian, and it didn't matter the little knowledge that I had. It was who I knew, and it was Jesus that I knew. Thanks.
I know. This has just been the most awesome experience in my life, except for having my three children. The scripture that says God takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, that's exactly what he did. I would have left my brain on the bus. I mean, I left my backpack in the church. I left my coat there. People were carrying them out, saying, "Come on, Denise, let's go." And it's just, the Lord just, it was so awesome. He just filled you, and he just spoke through you, and the scriptures would come to your mind. When you think, I went there thinking, everybody's going to be witnessing, and I'm going to be standing there behind doing nothing. And the Lord just so much moved. It was awesome. And the people there, the translators, they were so filled. It was a blessing to be there. I had all these things I was thinking about that I was going to share, and nothing's coming up right now. But there was a girl that was pregnant. She came the first day, and I was standing towards the back and just praying that, Lord, show me who you'd want me to go to. And she was just so beautiful. I just walked over to her and started sharing with her. And she was saying how she knew the Lord already. And Angela, the interpreter, was telling me that, you know, she knows the Lord already, okay? So I said, please just continue to listen and listen to the message and listen to the music. And then I felt like the Lord saying, you know what, go back to her. And I went back to her and I said, you know what, I made a mistake. It's not just knowing Jesus. It's not just knowing who he is, because Satan and his demons know and they tremble. And I said, it's a personal relationship. And I started sharing with her the scriptures. And she was so open, and she asked the Lord to come into her heart right there. And I just couldn't believe it. I was just so amazed that she would, you know, was so open. And she was just a blessing. And there was just so many people there that were so open. And if you feel like you can't be used by the Lord, I mean, he can use anybody if you're just willing.
Is this person, can they hear me? Okay. Well, in the same way that the Lord had to use me and talk to those people, he's going to have to talk to you, because I really don't know what to tell you. When I thought about it, I can't tell you in English or in any language what it's like. There are no audible words for it. Just watching God do what he does. And you're just standing there, and you can feel him just whoosh right through you and just come out of your mouth, and you're looking around like, who said that? You know, what's going on? And you know, my time, my first 4 days, I was really oppressed, and I had all these things going through my mind, and Satan gave me everything he could possibly say to me. And I'd have to read these scriptures and tell myself, you believe this, you know you do, and I had to remind myself why I was a Christian and continue to do that. And once that just let go, I got sick. And so the Lord just, you know, kept using that, and I just thought, Lord, maybe you want me to pray. And I kept trying to hide behind that. And when I jumped out in front and said, no, I'm not going to do this, I'm going out there and I'm opening my mouth, he just shot through my mouth. And I don't know. When I left there, I felt like my body came back, but my heart stayed. And I think I've cried more in the past 4 days than I have in my whole life. And if you can go, go. Anything you can do, just do it. Let God, if God tells you to go, don't hesitate. I hesitated once, and now I can see the blessings that he has for them and for us. And real quick, because we're talkative in my family. I called my niece because it was her birthday on the 15th. I called home, and I talked to my eldest niece, Megan. And, you know, she wanted to know if Russia had dinosaur bones and all this stuff. And she said to me, Teeny, what do the children look like? And, well, they look just like you, except with a lot of clothes on. And it occurred to me that they're no different than we are. And we're all the same. Like, looking at all of you is just like looking at that crowd. We're all the same. And it doesn't matter if they speak Russian, if we speak English. I had an opportunity to pray with a translator. And we just witnessed, Norm and I had witnessed to someone. And we were praying with the translator. And we prayed in English, and then she prayed in Russian. And although I couldn't understand what she was saying in Russian, you could just tell by the Spirit of God that what she was saying. And it was just incredible how we could relate to that. How I just, you know, I could just pray with her, and it was all the same. It was just incredible. So, there. Thanks.
Well, here I am, Jack. I told Jack I wasn't going to do this. Here I am. God is so awesome, folks. You that have been on these trips, you know what I'm saying. And you that haven't, you just have no idea the experience that we all had together. We just grew in our faith so tremendously together. And we love each other so much. And like Christy said, we left our hearts in Russia. And we love those people so much. But I want to share two things with you this morning. There was a man that I got to share with there, and his name was Ivan. And I shared with him for about 45 minutes with the translator on the streets, and he'd never had a Bible, never heard of God, just thought he was going to die. And he didn't quite know how to handle it. It was all new to him. So I prayed with him, and he came that night. And after the worship service, he said, I have never seen or felt such love that I felt tonight from all of our team. And he accepted the Lord as his personal Savior that night. And it was awesome because he was about 55, and the doctors had told him that he doesn't have very long to live. And we just cried that night. But the other thing I want to share with you is something that disturbed me a little bit on the trip is I had heard some of the team members say that some of the congregation here had said that they weren't too sure about us going to Russia and doing these things and making these trips in Russia. And I guess I can kind of understand that a little bit because 6 months ago, I would have never thought that I would have went for Russia. And I want to thank my wife because she really pushed me and prayed for me to go on this trip. And I'm a busy guy, and I run a big business, and you know, I figured I don't have time for this. And people, any of you here that have said those words or have that feeling that you think that we shouldn't be going to Russia, hey, come talk to me. Because I would have, you know, been saying the same thing. It's something you'll never experience. Thank you.
I'm going to try to hold it together as best as I can. The Lord did some really awesome things in Russia. He changed my life totally in that country. Those people over there are... Somebody said something today when on the bus one day, and it just broke my heart and it made me realize. They said, people are going to hell today because they do not know our Lord. And I just went, whoa. I mean, you don't think of that when you live here. You don't think of that like we're so accessible to the gospel here. It's unreal. These people don't even know the love of Jesus Christ. When they seen us, it was like, I was blown away when I went out there. I seen these people and I was just like, Lord, these people are perishing. They don't know you. And it gave me a heart for these people. It's like I sat there and everybody said their heart's there. And it's so true because you realize what we have here and that these people don't have that and that the Lord made a way for us to go over there. And if you ever have the opportunity to do that, do it, because the Lord is just, everybody needs to know the gospel. Our families, as close as our families need to know the Lord. And we need to realize that the people that are perishing are going to hell, and it's a serious thing. It's serious to our Lord that says it's his will that none should perish. And these people are perishing, and so are there's people in this United States that are perishing. And it just, my heart just crumbled in that country. I mean, Lord just did a 180 in my life, and I thank him for that. I couldn't even afford to go on this trip, and I prayed about it even from the last trip. And I was on the prayer chain, and the Lord did some really awesome things in my life being on the prayer chain. My prayer life just went just straight forward. I'll go for ahead. And I just, this trip, I wasn't sure. I thought, well, for sure, I can't go because I can't afford it, but Lord, I'm going to pray about it, and I just have the heart for this. I have the heart, and he kept putting on me, and I mean, I was being so attacked by the enemy, I thought, gosh, I'm not worthy to do this. I don't deserve this. Who am I to go over there? I don't know enough about you, Lord. I mean, I've been a Christian about 2 years, and he just, when I got the get-go to go on this trip, I just about went into convulsions. I was like, no way, Lord. How are you going to, why am I going on this trip? I don't deserve this. And he just told me, be still and know that I am God. And I just went, okay, God, I'll be still. And just when I went on this trip, it changed my life, and it changed all my brother and sister's lives. And the power of the Holy Spirit, like they said, was so intense. It was incredible. I mean, you realize that things don't happen by chance in this world. It is totally spiritual warfare that we're dealing with here. When you're having your bad day, it's not a bad day. It's the enemy fighting you to take your salvation from you. And that you just have to realize that your God is more powerful than anything that could ever come against you. And he loves his children. And he blessed all of our lives. And I'm sure he blessed every one of your guys' lives being here. And we wouldn't have been able to do it if it wasn't for you guys back here praying for us and knowing that the love of this body and the love of believers is incredible if we realize that we are all one and the same. And even if we're in Russia, they're the same as us. And it's the children over there just blew my life away. I mean, the Lord put me in the children's ministry here, and I thought, oh, gosh, I don't even know what I'm doing. And he blessed me so much. And I was over there with the kids, and I was like, Lord, I can't leave this place. These kids, my heart was for them. I didn't care what I had at home. I didn't care what I didn't have at home. I just go, Lord, these kids need to know your love. And these people need to know your love. And it was just incredible. He just blew me away. And I just like to tell you guys that pray about going, because the Lord is just, there's a harvest out there. And just when you feel like you're not worthy, that's where he wants you to be. He wants you to realize that we aren't worthy, but he loves us, and he's going to do it in our lives, what he chooses. And I just want to thank you guys for just all your love and support while we were gone, and just even while we're not gone, when we're here. It's just, the love is incredible in our body. Thank you.
Hi, Chino Hills. Rochelle was my roommate in Russia, and seeing her a little emotional is getting me a little emotional. So I want to say that this trip, it was incredible. It was one of the biggest learning and teaching and growing experiences of my life. And I didn't know either if I was even going to be going until the last minute. And I saw the Lord just totally work. He sent me, and the whole trip was just one thing after another of him blowing my mind. And I remember the verse in Acts 1:8, and it talks about that you will be given power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and that we are called to be God's witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And in my head, Russia was about as close to the end of the earth as I thought I wanted to get. But that is the only reason that I was able to get up in the morning and go out and talk to those people, because every day I had to empty myself of myself, which was pretty good because there's not much good about myself, so I got to get rid of that and just ask for the Holy Spirit just to fill me, and he did. And I went out and looked at those people, and like some other people have said, it's like looking at you guys, and you just see these faces staring at you, and some of them are half falling asleep, and some of them are like, you guys are crazy, what are you doing here? And some of them, their eyes were just so wide open and so curious, and they just wanted to know what you had, what we had, what we can give them, you know? And it was God, it was a relationship with God. And I remember we went to an orphanage that Robin mentioned, and we went to two orphanages that day, but like she said, 16 of us got to go to an orphanage for younger children. And I held this one little girl, and when I first picked her up, she was just stiff as a board. She couldn't even relax. And I sat her down after a little while. She kind of walked away, and another girl walked up to me, and that first little girl came right back and wanted me to hold her. And by the end of the time, we were saying goodbye to these children, and I was holding this little girl, and I was just rocking her. And she couldn't speak very well, very clearly. I even tried to have an interpreter tell me what she was saying, and he couldn't understand her. She was, something was wrong with her mentally. I don't know to what degree. But I was rocking her, and I was just saying, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, just over and over. And every time I said it, the more she would laugh, and the more she would laugh. And I don't know if she understood my words, but she knew there was something in those words, and it just connected with her. And that's one thing, like I said, this was a growing experience for me. God showed me that no matter what, sorry, if we have him, we don't need anything else, that he will take care of you, and that giving your life to God or giving your problems to God, it's not a control thing. It's not like you're losing control. It's not because you're weak. It's a freedom thing, and he will take away your problems, and he will take over your life, and you will feel freedom. And I want to read a verse that a friend gave me before I left. It's in Ephesians 6:19, and it says, pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And this verse is just one that stuck in my head the whole time over there, because we are to be an ambassador in chains for God, and that's not a bad thing. It's a freedom thing.
Hi. It was so rad. God's just, like, awesome. I didn't even talk like that till I went on the trip. Then I came back. Cool, rad. I even learned it in Russian. Klasna, kruta. For your information. It was, when I went over there, you know, I've always, like, had a heart for missions, you know, and I've been always been praying and stuff, but it was rad. God became so much more real to me. I mean, I totally believed in everything, but, I mean, it was way real. And and even the scriptures, like, they came to life. There was people you would share with them, and in your mind you would have, like, I don't want to say like a speech or routine, but you were kind of prepared, you know, how to approach them. You know, how do you open the conversation, or, you know, what verses are you going to use and stuff. And then, I don't know, after a couple times that just went out the window, and I just had to totally trust in God, and it would be like I'd open my mouth and I wouldn't know what I was going to say right before, and then he'd give you verses and stuff that I'd read that I had no idea where they were, found them, you know, and or somebody would be standing right there and they would, you know, come and help. And the Russians there were like quoting the Bible, and they didn't even know it. I was sharing with one woman, and me and Rebecca Courtney were kind of doing a team thing, and we were telling her about, you know, Jesus, and she said, you know, yeah, she believed in God and everything. And we were talking about having a personal relationship and about, you know, being saved and stuff. And she looked at me and she goes, well, what should I do to be saved? And my mouth about dropped open. I'm like, you just quoted a scripture verse, you know. I couldn't even talk, you know. Becky's all, you know, believe in the Lord. And she had to come in. And then, so it was neat because sometimes, you know, you'd share with people, and they'd, like, come to the Lord. It was just radical. You know, you just pray with them right there. And sometimes not. And you don't want to get discouraged. I mean, even here when you share with people, because, you know, God wants us to share his, you know, this gospel with everybody. And that doesn't mean that everybody's going to, like, drop on their knees and accept the Lord. It just means that they're hearing about it and you're making them think about it. And he kind of made that scripture verse about, you know, one waters and one plants and God gives the increase. That verse totally came alive. One specific example, I was sharing with this one lady, and I saw this other Russian woman. She was kind of looking, listening a little bit, kind of standing back. And so I thought, well, when I'm done talking with her, I want to share with her. Well, when I was done, my translator, like, disappeared, so I had to grab another one. And then Christina came up to me, and she was looking for a translator, and she wanted to share with the woman, you know, that I was looking at. So I said, well, stay with her, you know, and I went and grabbed a translator. And so she first heard the gospel, you know, overhearing it when I was sharing with someone, and she didn't, like, jump in and want to accept the Lord, but she didn't leave. Then Christina shared with her, and she still didn't, you know, accept Jesus or anything. She just kind of hung out. And then Mark Koppel was up, and he was sharing, you know, about John 3:3 and Nicodemus and stuff. And the woman was just standing there, and I felt God put it on my heart, you know, to go talk to her, you know, again. And so I was praying about it, and I waited till Mark was done talking, and I grabbed a translator, and I went over there, you know, and I just kind of said, hi, you know, I see you've been, you know, I watched you listening to what Mark said. Did you understand what he was saying? And she said, yeah. And I said, do you believe what he was saying? And she says, yeah. And I go, well, do you want to accept, you know, Christ into your life? Do you want to have Jesus as your Savior? And she goes, yeah. And I'm all, okay, cool. You know? And so she did, you know. And so it wasn't the first time she heard the gospel. It wasn't the second or the third, but it was the fourth time. So, you know, we have to remember that, you know, just keep on planting the seeds, keep on watering. And just, you know, even you can, like, disagree with someone, but, you know, you still love them, because sometimes it's just the love of God. It's not what you say. It's not what verse, you know, that you tell them. It's just totally your love that, you know, well, it's not my love, man. It's like God loving the people through me, you know. It's rad. So that's all.
Hi there. My name's Eddie. For me, the trip really began about 6 years ago when I was in college, went to a Christian college, and they had a missions group. And they had talked about Russia and how they were smuggling Bibles in. And I said, wow, they'd be rad. It'd be great to go in there and smuggle Bibles in, maybe even get caught. No, but I said, Lord, I'd like to go. Fear, hesitation stopped me from doing that. So then all of a sudden, here I am, 6 years later, 3,000 miles away in the church, and I'd heard from the first trip, yeah, they're going to Russia. And I said, Lord, this is too weird. Here I am, you know, I thought about going before, and I prayed, Lord, I'd like to have gone. So on the second trip, I said, Lord, if it make your will, if it be your will for me to go, please allow it. Work things out with my job and finances for me to go. And I really challenge you to decide on, if not Russia, to challenge you personally to decide on what God would have you to do, some type of short-term mission group, something in that nature, to go. The biggest thing I'd found when we were in Russia, how the people in Russia, when you challenge them to do something, they would do it. And they would read. They would ask questions. Here in America, if you challenge someone to do something, they say, yeah, you're a fruitcake and walk away. But I want to challenge you in Chino Hills to really read your word more, pray more, to really think how the Lord would use you in some type of group. If it not coming to Russia, if maybe on the prayer chain, in children's ministry, in some way, shape, form, I challenge you to put your faith into action, to put it into work, to do something for the Lord, for he's done so much for us. I'm not saying we're saved by works, but I'm just saying the Lord has done so much to me, and there's so little I can do in this life to make up for what he has done. And I just challenge you to find some niche that the Lord can work with you. Thank you.
Hello, my name's Ed. I was hoping we'd run out of time. That's why I went to the back. You know? I didn't know why I was going over there. I didn't even know why I wanted to go. And everything, as far as an obstacle that I could put there emotionally or mentally, I tried doing, and they all came down. So it was meant for me to go. And when I went over there, I thought I was going over there for one thing, and it turned out to be totally different and not at all what I thought it would be. I didn't expect to get up in front of crowds and talk. I didn't expect to really share with people in the ways I did. I didn't feel I was worthy to do those things. We all feel unworthy, and we are. But, you know, like a lot of people have shared, the Lord can work through you. And if he can work through me, he can work through anybody here. He used everything ugly in my past to his glory. There's a lot of people on the team, and maybe people here who don't know I was in prison and did a lot of things in my past I'm real ashamed of. Now I can boast in the Lord about them because he used them, you know. I saw a lot of things happen over there with everybody in the group. Some I knew somewhat from the years that we've been here. Others I've just gotten to know and really fall in love with. And I was thinking about when Bob was sharing earlier. We're all kind of rotten in our own ways and, you know, get on each other's nerves or whatever if you wanted to. But you know why we loved each other so much over there? Is because we were seeing Jesus in each other. And we were seeing him work in ways that I never expected. I could tell you stories for hours. I've been doing it to everybody I meet. I can't stop talking about it, and I hope everybody here doesn't stop talking about it, especially the people here, so that you can catch that fire too. And for the people who were the naysayers that was alluded to earlier, I'd like you to come talk to me too. Let's go out in the streets here and do it if you think we shouldn't have done it over there. The Lord is awesome, and he can work in a lot of ways. There was people that were touched by this group that you wouldn't think would be touched. And how he could use you. I'm not learned it in the Bible, but I was able to say, the Bible says this and that all day long. I talked to people who were very educated. I talked to that submarine commander. He's a very educated man, speaks English well. And he talked to me for a couple hours one day out there in the rain. And there was no great conversion, you know, but like the Lord gave me air, and I know that seed was planted. He's going to think about that sometime in the future. There was many other things that happened with every one of us like that over there. It was just awesome. A guy that had a track handed to him that said his heart belonged to Satan. He listened to all the satanic music. Some of those people have grabbed the ugliest things of our culture to hang on to now as they go into capitalism, the mafia, all those things that are over there. later that night accepted Jesus Christ, you know. And nothing any of us did. It was the Lord working, but it was awesome to see those things work over there. People are so generous, so loving. They care about their children so much. Those orphanages that we went to, 100 children, and then there's 125 staff members there. The other orphanage, 100 children, and they're going to take them on a camping trip, and there's 70 volunteers. They're going to take them camping. Any parents here that have got their kids in baseball or whatever, how many parents will get involved with that team? Meeting those people over there was very convicting for me. The arrogant American was very true over there. It was brought home to me. Easier for the rich man to go through, the camel to go through the eye of the needle and the rich man to go to heaven. We're all rich and blessed over here. Over there, they're broken and had everything taken from them. And they have a false pride that makes it hard for you to reach them with the message of God, but it works. And when they accept it, they really mean it. They say, let's do it right now. They want to do it. It's something I'll never forget. There's a man here that doesn't even know who it is that he helped support to go over there because I didn't have the money to go. I was out of work for a number of months last year. And he wonders if his money was spent wisely. Thank you very much.
I'd like to share something that that maybe these guys don't know. I didn't want to tell them while it was going on because it was going too well, but I can tell you that before this entire team come together, some 45 of them in total, we had had two other guys added from Calvary Chapel Vista and another church in Minnesota. And we had gotten over to Delta LAX to get ready to get out. And as you know, international departures, you got to be there hours in advance, especially with a large group. It's pretty crazy. And Delta treated us like kings. And they made the Admiral Room available for us, and they just wined and dined us. I mean, there was Cokes and Perrier and just treated us really nice. We had a really great lounge and stuff. Well, when time came to get ready to board the plane, I just asked the guys, I said, hey, let's leave it like no one's ever used it. And that's all I said. And while we're getting ready to board the plane, there's a Delta executive. I thought something had happened because they had this walkie-talkie coming after me. They said, where's Mr. Hibbs? Where's Mr. Hibbs? And I thought, oh, no. You know, they mistook my flashlight for a bomb or something, you know. And this person pulls me up to the side, and they just said, look, we have never, never seen a group the size that it is leave a place cleaner than what we left it for you. And we just want to thank you guys for that. Well, we're Christians. That's what we expect. And I thought that was pretty neat that they would say so. So we get on the plane and get on over there. And I want to tell you, for 11 hours of pre-trip planning, these people spend at least 11 hours together and in prayer on Monday nights. Some of you know that, of course. And they were definitely a fluid group. If one guy left his bag, the other guy picked it up. Flawlessly every day. I left my jacket. I have your jacket. It was perfect. I've never seen a group of people so disciplined and so together as I have seen on this team. Someone mentioned first service. I have not seen, they said, they had gone on the previous trips and they said, I've never seen so much spiritual attack. That was true. This team had more spiritual attack than I've seen on the other teams. Yet, because that first night we came together, first night ever, I had told them, okay, let's break up into groups and pray. Nobody wanted to pray. And there's that hesitation that you feel when you go into a group. I don't want to pray. It's too vulnerable. Second night, they began to pray. Third night, they prayed more. By the time it came to get on the plane, these guys were dropping their hats to pray at anything. And it showed all along the way. And we get over there, and it's just one cohesive group. I, in these Russian trips, have never seen the body of Christ work more New Testament type example as I've seen on these trips. Togetherness, looking out for everyone else more than ourselves. It's perfect. If this morning you're a doubter, if this morning you're a skeptic in the power of the Holy Spirit, hang on, next week we start the book of Acts. You'll see the truth of that
what that book teaches and the lives of these teams. What's great and what you and I are rich about is that these people from the not only this group, but from the previous groups, have now been assimilated into various ministries within this church. Your children are beneficiaries of what the Russia team has meant to some of these people. They're serving Christ tirelessly, effortlessly, willingly. And all of us, no matter where you're at in this church, has been blessed, strengthened, somehow nurtured by the fact that these people have gotten outside of themselves to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get on the plane now to come back home, St. Petersburg, it's snowing. Carl's got his shorts on. With, you know, if you know who Carl is, he's from Hawaii. That's all I need to say. He had his Russian cap on with Star Trek sunglasses on in the middle of the snow, and he's got tennis shoes on and shorts. He gets on the plane. He's snoring before we ever get the door shut on the airplane. And all this big green T-shirts come walking in, sweatshirts, and they sit down. And the guy, the captain of the plane, gets on, and he says, "Hey, we've got a group from Calvary Chapel planting churches in Russia, and we'd like to welcome them aboard." Well, he's all pumped that we're on this plane. Well, come to find out, his church is radically involved in planting churches in Africa. And he just loved us. And then as you, some of you know who were here Wednesday night and then on the prayer chain, on the way home, leaving Frankfurt in the jumbo jet coming back over, we make a very unscheduled emergency landing in Iceland. There was a woman, Joni was behind my seat with another brother, and then behind her was a woman who was very afraid to fly with a five-year-old daughter. And she took 7 sleeping pills and drank about 2/5 of bourbon. And she nearly succeeded in killing herself. She went into a drug-induced coma on the plane. Dr. Bob got over there right away, and there was no way of waking her up. A little bit further into the flight, her eyes began to separate. One went west and one went south. What's the opposite of west? East. And things were looking really bad, and Bob and I began to move her to first class where they prepared a bed for her. And she began to lose bodily functions, and it was evident. And she was on the brink. Her heart rate began to weaken. We began to lose her. And Bob had told the chief stewardess, he said, "We're losing this lady. We need to get this thing down quick." And that pilot began to dump the fuel off that big plane because the runway was too short for us to land on in Iceland. So we headed that big thing north, and we landed in Iceland. And we didn't know why, you know. Maybe we won't know why until we get to heaven. But within an hour or two, they gave Bob the crew telephone, and he calls home to Chino Hills. Chino Hills within the hours on the prayer chain concerning this woman who's dying in Iceland, who's got a 5-year-old girl, and they're bound for L.A. And yet there's people with big green shirts standing in the aisles of this big L-1011, you know, 300 people on this plane all, you know, praying, and people are looking on and listening. And God began to move, and it was awesome. And who's to say? We got a report from the pilot on the way after we had taken off that she was starting to regain consciousness. We don't know her state still. But God was moving, and it was God's hand all along the way. And I got 3 seconds to share something that just blessed my heart, talking about God doing impossible things. There was a day, one of our last days, there was a professor of physics who taught at the university, and he was specializing in Doppler research, sound wave research. And Mark Valenzuela and some other guys were sharing with him. And you might know, I love to talk with guys like that. And we got together. And I want you to know something. God just moved in a tremendous way. This guy did not become a believer. But what I want to encourage you about is that everything he put up in the way of physics and laws, we knew enough physics to understand that he was breaking every natural law that it has been given by God to us. And the man went away absolutely confused and upset because when he said, "I'm an evolutionist and I believe in evolution," and I asked him the greatest question you can ask anyone, I said, "Why are you an evolutionist?" So never underestimate the question, why. Your kids do it to you all the time. And he went, because, and he couldn't respond, and he got jaw tight and tongue tied, and he began to just panic. And here's a professor of physics. And I said, don't ever think, you have not given us one scientific response to back up evolution. Not a one. Don't ever think that you're an evolutionist because of intelligence. The reason why you're an evolutionist is because it's a heart issue. It's a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of the brain. And the man went away totally frustrated. Remember to pray for him. Anatoly, brilliant man. He's been educated beyond his ability to learn. And that's sad. May God bring him to a saving knowledge of Christ. Because it's a heart situation for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord God, that you're moving in the midst of the world. There's a lot of things that seem negative. If you want to sit back and look at the negative, Jesus will leave that for other people. Lord, you are on the throne, and that will never change. And as long, God, as you sit upon that throne, we're going to be serving you. We're going to be committed to you. And Jesus, we're going to die trying. But Jesus, when it's all said and done and we stand before your presence, may none of us in this body, in this family that you've established together here at Chino Hills, ever sit around idle, burying their talent, burying their investment that you've made within them. God, may we at least get up and try rather than never trying at all. And Father, I want to praise you for this church that I think is the best church in the world. And I am extremely biased. And I thank you, God, for your love that you've given us from this body that goes beyond description. In Jesus' name, amen.